What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Warriors send out an update on Kevin Durant. All things considered, good news. The Dubs are underdogs in Game 6. And what they're going to need to do to wrap this series up in Houston. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Why don't you go ahead and make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to Locked On Warriors. You can find me Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, just about everywhere. And not only that, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered, whether it's NBA, NFL, MLB, some of the big college teams. We got you covered, so check out everything we have to offer, especially Locked On NBA, covering everything going on in the entire NBA. But you only care about the Warriors, so make sure you subscribe to your boy, Charles T. Hamilton. I don't know about you guys. I'm still, head's still spinning from last night. It was one hell of a dramatic evening. Something that, you know, would be in a movie somewhere. And when they make the movie and, you know, Michael B. Jordan is playing Draymond and, I mean, I don't know, Michael B. Jordan would play anyone he wants, really. but it was just an incredible evening. I'm still, head's still spinning from giving up a 20-point lead to Kevin Durant being injured and not knowing the extent of the injury. Some people tweeted this out. It ranged anywhere from he'll be back in the fourth quarter to the next 10 years of the NBA have shifted drastically. And we got the update today that Kevin Durant has a mild calf strain and will be reevaluated in 1 week. So he's not even going to be in Houston for game 6. They're keeping him home, going to let him rehab. Don't even want to mess with what, you know, the cabin pressure, what flying could do to potentially worsen the injury. Game 7, he's not going to be, he's not playing in that either. So a week from today would be next Thursday, which if the Warriors do wrap this thing up and move on, and let's say they reevaluate him in a week and he's good to go, that would be around game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. So, disaster averted, I guess you could say, because if Steph, Clay, and Draymond, if the Warriors OGs can keep this thing afloat, get us there, they will get Kevin Durant back. It's not an Achilles tear, which I know Reggie Miller pretty much diagnosed, which was so irresponsible and stupid and annoying of him. But as long as they can get him there, as long as the Warriors can get through the West to the Western Conference Finals, stay afloat, they'll get Kevin Durant back. Now, what it means for Game 6 and 7, hopefully just Game 6, we'll get to that in a couple minutes. But for now, you're missing Kevin Durant, and the problem is the depth. And the depth, not just with quality players, but the depth of two starters are out. One of your backup centers is also out. Jacob Evans, Jordan Bell, also deemed unplayable. Now, I personally, in Game 6, which Steve Kerr is not going to do, give both of them a minute. See what happens. If they're terrible in that 1 minute, if as soon as they check in, they get picked on, blow an assignment, you're out. But the bottom line is you're going to have to steal minutes somewhere. And it's going to be Jerebko. It's going to be McKinney. It's hopefully going to be Quinn Cook. I understand. I mean, I think we all already knew this, but Steve Kerr, who was a career three-point shooter, doesn't value three-point shooters as much as he values length and defense. And that's why Quinn Cook isn't getting any minutes. I hope he will in Game 6 and 7 because they need him. They're going to need him. A already thin bench has just gotten even more thin. The DeMarcus Cousins injury at the time hurt a lot. But at the same time, it was the most... What am I trying to say? The most... Replaceable isn't the right term, but I'll use replaceable. And not because you have anyone as skilled as DeMarcus at the center position, but he was in the ultimate luxury, was DeMarcus Cousins. And would have been really important this series, but him being out with still the four All-Stars, still the Hamptons five intact, you could live with it. The margin for error was a little smaller, but you could live with it. Now the margin for error, a lot smaller. When you lose your starting center and your starting small forward, it's going to be a tough adjustment. It's going to be really tough. With KD out, I'm not exactly sure what you're going to do. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But I don't know about you guys. As soon as it happened, my mind started racing. Not just the injury. What kind of ramifications does this have for his contract moving forward? Would he take his player option? Would he leave and go rehab somewhere else? Like, my mind went everywhere. I'm sure yours did too. But, man, Draymond, Clay, Steph showed up. And that's what they're going to need to do moving forward. I think it was Kate Scott who tweeted out late in the game last night, probably when the game was over, Draymond, Clay, Warriors for life. And, you know, to take emotion out of it is impossible. So there's a ton of emotion in it right now where I say, yeah, they basically are Warriors for life. You're giving Clay the max. Draymond, you're probably not going to max him, but you're going to find some middle ground with him to keep him here and keep him happy. It was great, man. It was a great evening, full of drama, full of despair and joy and triumph, and such a huge win because you now have two shots. You got two cracks at winning one game, where the Rockets, they can't make mistakes, man. They have to win both. They can't make a crucial mistake that could end up costing them because you know what that means. Season over. Going to take one quick break, come back. I want to get into some of the specific matchups, lineups, and starting lineup we might see for the Warriors in Game 6 and potentially Game 7. And then maybe even look ahead a little bit. Maybe. Just a little bit. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. Or you know what? Hey, let me tell you something. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. So just went over the Kevin Durant injury and the diagnosis so far. Mild calf sprain, and he'll be reevaluated in 1 week. All things considered, that's good news. It's good news. We thought it might be for the year, the entire playoffs, and then the entire next season. But luckily, that's not the case. A couple of things that came out last night from the game that I want to make sure I throw in there. I should have done it in the first segment, but forgot. DeMarcus Cousins apparently was a vocal leader after the Durant injury. Durant goes down and everyone was worried for good reason, obviously. And Cousins went back there with Durant. Cousins, we all know, tore his Achilles just over a year ago. And they were asking Cousins about, is he okay? What's going on? And Cousins was just like, yeah, he's fine. It's out there. It's on the court is what you need to worry about, though. And Andre said that, you know, he gave him a ton of credit for keeping the team's head in it. And so I think that's pretty cool. And, I mean, it won't go down in the history of the story of the Warriors, but I think that's a cool moment and should be mentioned for DeMarcus's sake. And, again, there's still a chance to have a pretty storybook ending to DeMarcus's Warriors career. It's going to be tough to get to that point, but there's still a chance. And also, last night, the Twitter detectives, of course, found what they thought was a missed call. They think Clay stepped out on the last play of the game and blah, 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 blah. And I don't give a I've never seen a team that gets the benefit of so many calls that has a player that is literally officiated by his own set of rules complain so much about the officials. And first off, two-minute report came out, said it was inconclusive, wouldn't be able to make a call anyways. Second off, that's not why you lost. You lost because you got out-rebounded. You lost because you couldn't hit threes. You lost because James Harden didn't take a shot in the last 8 minutes. You lost because Chris Paul is not good anymore. Like, I'm so tired of hearing about them bitch and moan about officiating. And it doesn't matter because the Warriors won, even if the two-minute report came out and said they got it wrong, which they didn't. The Warriors still win. The Warriors still got it. You know what, man? Houston, what's the new owner's name? I don't know it. Furtado or, don't they own casinos or something? They should pay off the refs like the Warriors do, right? Because that's what people say. It's crooked and they're paying off the refs and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Lega breaks out the checkbook and pays the refs, so you guys need to do it too, right? Isn't that what happens? It's ridiculous. I'm tired of hearing about it. Tired of talking about it, but it was worth mentioning, you know, because they're still bitching and moaning about it. But anyways, moving on to game six and what's going to happen and what we should expect with the Warriors being down. Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, you know, Damian Jones. I know, look, he's not very good. Hasn't been very good. But that's another body that they don't have. So I would think that if the Rockets stick with their normal lineup with Clint Capella starting, I think you start Andrew Bogut to match Capella's minutes. Because Kevon Looney is not a guy you can play 30-plus minutes. He's just not. He's 20 to 25, and he'll be super effective in those. But you can't expect that you'll get that same sort of effectiveness from him. He doesn't have the wind. He plays super hard. It's similar to JaVale, where you can't get a ton of minutes out of JaVale. The reason I'd start Bogut, and then you're also still starting Andre Iguodala at the three, and doing that so he can check James Harden. And the reason you're doing it is because it's the best matchup you got, where you can at least try and match size, have more size out there with Andrew Bogut, try and funnel Harden to Bogut, and hopefully Bogut can protect the rim. But past that, it's thin. You got Sean Livingston. You're probably going to get some minutes out of Jonas Jerebko. You're definitely going to have to try and steal some minutes with Quinn Cook. Alphonso McKinney will definitely get his minutes bumped up a little bit, 10 to 15 probably. Quinn Cook, can Quinn steal, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes for Steph to rest a little bit? And certain wild card I got to throw out there. I don't think he's going to do it, and I don't blame him in him being Steve Kerr, but Jordan Bell, I get it, he's in the doghouse. Jordan Bell played in the Western Conference Finals last year. He played against these Rockets and did a pretty good job. I think you might see him, and I said it last game, I thought you might see him, but part of why you didn't is because Looney played probably the best game of his career. I thought you might see Jordan Bell last game. I think we might see him this upcoming game. And I know this one isn't going to happen. But, man, what if he just threw Jacob Evans out there for a minute? Just for a minute. See how it goes. Do they immediately put him in the pick and roll and attack him? Jacob Evans is a good defender. So they attack him, what? Maybe he fouls, maybe they score, and then if you think it's that bad, you pull him out. But not going to happen. Not in Houston. Definitely not. And then you have Game 7 at home. You wouldn't do that to him in Game 7. But it's just a thought I had. Because the thing with Jacob Evans is he is a defender. He can give you good minutes defensively. But with him being inexperienced, with him probably going up against James Harden, it's not going to happen. But, man, I'd be super interested. Wonder if Steve Kerr has the cojones to do so. I don't think he does, but man, that would be interesting. And that's one other thing I got to mention, that Bob Myers, great GM, obviously, and you guys have heard me call out some of his misses this year, because there have been plenty of misses. Jacob Evans is one of them, so to speak. Like, not getting anything out of the 28th pick in the draft isn't a big deal, but since you were so vocal about the fact that you would get a player with the 28th pick and didn't yet, is where I give him negative marks. The fact that a guy like Pat Connaughton was available for a long time on the free agent market and signed a 2-year minimum deal with Milwaukee, I'm not saying he would have been a game changer, but he's at least someone you could play. He's someone you could play. Austin Rivers, look, when he became a free agent, I said I didn't want him. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't. Still not sure if I'd want him on the team. But it's not for me to make those decisions. It's for him to evaluate that sort of stuff and see whether someone could help. And Austin Rivers has been fine. He'd at least be playable, to where Jacob Evans, Jordan Bell, Jonas Jerebko, not until, you know, break glass if needed. Alphonso McKinney, where that's more out of necessity than him being great. Like, those are two players that he could have had, the Warriors could have had, but don't. Pat Connaughton, Austin Rivers, and here's a third, and I know Warriors fans are probably not going to love me bringing this up, and it's not Bob's fault so much as it is this player's fault, but maybe the Warriors could have done more to keep him around, and that's Pat McCaw. Pat McCaw could be playing big minutes. He could have taken Sean Livingston's role by now, because Sean's been struggling so much. He could have taken Sean Livingston's role by now and be playing big minutes in the Western Conference semis against the Rockets. But instead, he's riding the bench for the Toronto Raptors, making $1 million less than he could have with the Warriors. I don't know if there's anything Bob could have done to keep him around, maybe guarantee that second year of the $5 million offer they gave him, which doesn't seem like that big of a deal, especially considering you can get off that pretty easily. You can trade that money pretty easily. I don't know if that would have fixed it, but that's another guy, another playable wing that the Warriors don't have right now, and part of why they're so short on the bench. So there's three players that could be Warriors and could be helping and add to their wing depth. Instead, we technically have five centers, and two of them are barely playable: Jordan Bell, Bogut. Bogut will be playing in game six, though. Two of them are hurt. It just, I don't know. These things have to be called out. Even though Bob is great, he's going to have to rebuild the bench this offseason, whether the Warriors win a title or not. Whether KD comes back or not, the bench is going to have to be completely rebuilt. And I hope Marcus Derrickson's part of it. Had to get a Marcus Derrickson mention in there. And one last one, Daniel House. I know Daniel House isn't getting minutes for the Rockets right now, but just another player that was in training camp with the Warriors that they missed out on. So there it is. There's my complaining about the bench and some of the moves Bob Myers has made. But doesn't really matter, because look where they are. They're still in the Western Conference semis, one game away from going to the Western Conference finals. Dodged a major bullet with the injury to KD. He could potentially be coming back midway through the Western Conference finals. And Warriors just need to get there. They just need to get there. That game is tonight. Be sure to check it out. Going to take one last break. Maybe look at a few more things in this game, and then also break down last night's action in the NBA. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? So with Kevin Durant out, one of the things, or two of the things, well, really three of the things that are going to happen for the Warriors to win is Steph. Let's hope that this that fourth quarter is what we will see from Steph for four quarters. That it wasn't just an adrenaline-fueled quarter of basketball at Oracle. That he's back closer to himself than he has been. Same thing with Klay Thompson. That Klay Thompson is the Klay Thompson we've seen all, well, more like, you know, three quarters of the year, because he did have a rough start. Draymond Green has been incredible. He's going to have to stay out of foul trouble. Steph's going to have to stay out of foul trouble. It was one thing when it was happening with KD on the floor. Now it is imperative that he stays out of foul trouble. He did a good job of it in game five. I think he ended with two fouls. But it is as important as anything else that he is on the floor not fouling. And it'll be interesting, man. The three Warriors OGs trying to close this thing out. Do we get an epic game six from Klay like we've seen before? It's possible. It's possible. But those are the biggest factors. That Steph is normal Steph, and maybe the fact without KD they can play a little more freely, free-flowing game, more transition stuff, you know, more that high pick and roll with him and Draymond. Klay, need Klay to shoot and defend. Need him to do what he does. Draymond, same thing. His defense, his offense has been solid too. He's been everywhere. He just needs to continue his great play. Eliminate some of the techs though. Last night's tech was pretty whack. They bought a Chris Paul flop, but it happens. Kevon Looney. If Kevon Looney can continue to attack the glass the way he did, play with great hustle, you know, these things, these are what's really needed for the Warriors to win game six. And then the bench, just don't be terrible. Just don't be terrible, you know? Hold the rope. Toe the line. Keep it even. All the cliches you can think of. And here's one thing that I think is working in the Warriors' favor. Houston looked tired, man. They looked tired late in that game. Is this the point where Houston can't really handle it anymore? Where they're gassed? I mean, yes, the Warriors were trapping James Harden late in the game to get the ball out of his hands, but he only took one shot in 8 minutes with a chance to wrap the game up, wrap the series up, honestly. So, I don't know. I don't know. Is this the point where we see Houston do what they've always done, get tired, Chris Paul get injured, and Harden, you know, gas out? Those are the things that usually happen to them. So we'll see. But Steve Kerr did speak to the media today yesterday in Houston, and nothing groundbreaking or anything. He did say he expects KD to be back if the Warriors advance. And that it's good news. It's all good news what they got regarding his injury today. But another thing that he mentioned that I loved, and he's been doing this a little bit lately, he was asked about the mindset of the team without KD, and Steve said, we have championship rings. This group will never be doubted. This group has nothing to prove. There's a freedom in that. And there's some truth to the freedom of being the three-time champs and knowing how good you are, etc. But I also like that he has done this a couple times now where just kind of reminding everyone, I think reminding his team more than anything, that, you know, we're the Warriors. We are giants, like he said in his interview or in his post game the other day. And he did that during, I think, the Clippers series where some reporter asked about the identity of this team. And he said, the identity? We hang banners. Like, he's just reminding everyone and reminding his team, man, we've won three out of the last four championships. We've got rings. We've got the resume. We are still those guys. And even with KD out, we can still do things. So it's something I love. I love the hubris, but the earned hubris, because they're three out of four champs, man. I'm trying to three-peat right now. So I love it personally. Really quick, want to go over the games from last night. Just a quick update on the playoffs. The Sixers were able to beat the Raptors last night. Wasn't really a close game. Wasn't that good of a game, honestly. But they were able to take care of business and force a game seven. Simmons and Butler were really good for them. Simmons had 21. Butler had 25. Embiid was fine. 17 points, 12 rebounds. Did his work on the boards. He did pick up another flagrant, though. And by my count, now I haven't double-checked this, but that's three. And we all know, as Warriors fans, I think one more is a suspension. So we'll see. It might be rescinded, but I thought it was the right call personally. If you haven't seen it, it was on a free throw. He kind of threw his arm up a little bit and caught Gasol in the face. So anyways, game seven in that series, if you're the Warriors, it's tough to say what you prefer. I guess you prefer the Sixers to win because if you make it to the finals and you're the Warriors, you'll have home court advantage over the Sixers. They would have had home court over the Sixers or the Celtics. Celtics are knocked out, so the Sixers are the only team left that the Warriors would have home court advantage over. Raptors, obviously, better record. Same thing with the Bucks. So if it's either of those two, Warriors will not have home court advantage. Anyways, moving on to the Western Conference game, the Trailblazers were able to put together a pretty solid beatdown of the Nuggets. Beatdown might be strong. Well, not really. They pulled ahead in the third and then never really gave it away. They had the 119-108 victory. Cantor didn't have the points, but he was on the boards, had six offensive rebounds. Dame, solid game, 11 of 23, 6 of 13 from 3, 32 points. And Jokic was fine, 10 of 15, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, 29 points. It was just one of those games where a guy coming off the bench for the Trailblazers named Rodney Hood kind of altered the game for them. He went 8 of 12, 3 of 4 from the field for 20, 8 of 12 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3-point line, 25 points. He's been really good for them this series, been really good. One of the things that I see in this series, though, that Warriors have to kind of be salivating over is very little defense being played. So we'll see what happens, but the Trailblazers force a Game 7. So there's two Game 7s coming up. Let's hope that the Warriors avoid the Game 7 themselves, get the win tonight, and move on to the Western Conference Finals. I will have another episode after tonight's game. So come on back and listen to Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.